All right, guys, what's up? I know it's been a super long time, and I promise, I guess I've been promising every episode I'm going to do this more diligently, but it's a lot harder, and summer was a weird time, so I apologize, but we're done with that nonsense. Hopefully these will start being almost twice a week now, probably a little bit shorter. We're going to hopefully do Fine Art TV Sunday, Monday, then we're going to transition into CW Wednesdays. And then hopefully on Friday, we might do a Shonda Rhimes-themed podcast. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, the fall is here. We're done with the nonsense that is summer. Summer is finally over. And all of that TV has washed away mid-September. So we got a lot of great things on TV to watch right now, guys, which is why, again, not going to keep these too long, but mostly just recap everything that you arguably should be watching. You know, we came off of summer with a lot of True Detective disappointment. What else was there? You know, the fact that I can't even think about it. A lot of True Detective disappointment, Mr. Robot excitement, and a lot of like, oh, what else was on? Oh, Orange is the New Black came out on Netflix, and Narcos? Has anyone seen Narcos? Yeah, exactly. So basically, you know, the complete opposite of summer, we're just being completely inundated with shows, and it all started mid-September, around my birthday. Literally, let me think, network by network. You know, ABC is now back with their Shonda lineup, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and then, of course, their new show, How to Get Away with Murder. What else is still running strong? Fox is coming back with Gotham. But they did make that new show, The Blind Side, female Jason Bourne, which I think is doing okay. Not very good, but doing okay ratings-wise. Fox also has those two new comedies, Grandfathered and... what is that? The Grandfathered is the one with the guy from Full House and the guy from Josh and Drake. It has Josh on it. Looks terrible. Oh, and then Rob Lowe's on The Grinder. Like, can you imagine? I don't want to watch that show. Rob Lowe is perfect in Parks and Rec because it was an environment to truly be Rob Lowe, be that weird just caricature of yourself. But I do not want to watch a full half an hour of just that with Fred Savage, because not that I have anything against Fred Savage, but I mean, come on, it's Fred Savage. But, okay, so that was Fox, that was ABC. I'm also forgetting ABC also has Fresh Off the Boat coming back strong, along with Blackish, and of course, everyone's favorite Modern Family. All three are well into the lens of comedy. Also on Fox, they did Scream Queens, the new horror comedy with Emma Roberts. Honestly, all I really have to say about that is yay Emma Roberts, because Emma Roberts is Emma Roberts, and Emma Roberts, Emma Roberts. Right, Emma Roberts? Emma Roberts. Okay. NBC, Heroes Reborn. I think I have to give it another shot. I could not make it through the pilot. Like, I could definitely tell they were playing a lot around with a lot of same great ideas, but I think they aren't shining through as well in this current landscape. And mostly, like, some of the writing and acting is just so bad. Like, I don't want to see these people struggle through shitty dialogue. Like, I already had to sit through enough of that with True Detective. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, but that's my piece on on Heroes Reborn. You're welcome to try and continue watching. Also back on NBC, Law & Order SVU, now on their 16th season. Yep, I'm kind of ashamed to say I still watch that, but shit, I still watch that. NBC, is anything really else? I think The Blacklist is back on NBC. But other than that, nothing too exciting has premiered on that network. Probably because there really isn't that many exciting things to premiere. CBS is doing its own thing. I honestly should do a better job of paying attention to them, but I don't because I hate CBS. And I'm trying to think of a show they do that I like. Oh, The Good Wife. But that's not enough to make me praise CBS. Those are the major networks. I'm trying to think if anything really potent on those network comedy-wise came back. I'm not 100% sure. I think Fox or ABC is also doing a show, Dr. Ken. Oh, there's the other big one. Rosewood. Rosewood, I think, is doing very well on Fox. Very handsome black lead. All I recognize him from is from that ABC series V, which wasn't that good. Honestly, that show needed nudity. Then it would have probably been slightly watchable, but I honestly don't think that's a fair way to evaluate a show. Okay, let's move on. Lastly, of the network STV, CW. CW shows killing it. Flash came back 3 weeks ago. Arrow came back 2 weeks ago. All have been absolutely fantastic in terms of hitting their marks, hitting their beats, and providing what is great weekly comic book campy entertainment on the CW, where everyone's hair is perfect. And no, they've been a good job of not over-sexing everybody. Yeah, they've definitely been a good job of not over-sexing everybody, but, like, the best way to say it is there's a little bit less CW bullshit, even though it's a core element of what makes those shows good. And I just think it's because they're attracting a broader audience now, and they're like, oh, we don't need to just play to, oh, girl and guy, you know, we're touching and talking closely, and now banging. Just, that's how that show progresses, usually on a CW series. But both those series are back, and I wanted to mention them especially because I think the last comic book series I really talked about on the show was Daredevil, and how I enjoyed it so much because it was doing something so very different than both the comic book movies, but more importantly, these shows as well. That wasn't so much a slap in the face to these shows, because The Flash just premiered last year too, and it's fantastic. It's incredibly watchable. It's just very easy to watch, and you don't need to think too much. I don't know. For me, it hits that same drive that Saturday morning cartoons do. You know, like, music is timed perfectly with emotional and scenic development. It's the complete opposite of, like, Fargo, where there's a lot of non-scoring, and you just kind of have to think in space. Everything is, you know, fast-paced. You can tell that cuts are definitely driving a lot of the story. Not to a way where it's, like, detracting from the story, but it's definitely, it's the kind of TV you look for a cut. You expect a cut subconsciously, especially if you're not, you know, aware that, oh, yeah, I haven't thought about it that way in cuts before. But, yeah, all of those shows are cut by very, very similar editors, and, you know, they're trying to fit the 42, 45 minute TV series formula and allowed for commercial breaks. Even that's why, despite I watch most of these things on Hulu now because we don't have DVR, there's still commercial breaks there, and it's even funnier when you see the dots, because then you just think about your TV watching experience and you're just like, oh, I remember, so right before this commercial break, there's this beat is going to hit, we're going to reach the climax at that commercial break, etc., etc., etc. But to not go too far into those two series, because I'm probably going to dedicate a portion of this podcast to them later this week, the main strength it really has is Easter eggs. Comic book fans, and I have to say comic book fans and not truly include myself, because I enjoy reading comic books, I know what's going on, but I don't enjoy them more than television. I enjoy them in a different way, but at the end of the day, I want to sit down and watch something on television, watch a comic book heroes, watch a cartoon show. Audio is very stimulating for me. But regardless of that, what I wrote my thesis on, and more importantly, what I literally still believe, is that series-based programming is a stronger medium for telling comic book stories. It allows you to introduce more characters, it allows you to spend more time with the hero, similarly in a way you do month after month reading issue after issue of a comic book. Now, I understand why that becomes problematic for television, and more importantly, why that is incredibly problematic for movies, which is why I don't give the Marvel Cinematic Universe as much crap as I probably should, mostly because, like, hey, at the end of the day, I'm pretty entertained and happy, and I really don't want them to stop doing this, so, hands back on that. But again, this is before you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe was in full drive. Young Justice was premiering on Cartoon Network, and I'm still like, this is so much of a better series than the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though, like, you know, DC versus Marvel, just in the sense that it creates the same type of emotional feeling and attachment that I got watching cartoon superheroes as a kid, which to me, again, I love the intricacies of comic books. I still love doing that. I didn't read too many comic books as a kid. Frankly, without the internet, it was really hard for me to get into comic books because, like, not too many of my peers did it. And I feel like there wasn't a soft medium yet. You know, there weren't a lot of those hardcover books being made where you could sit and read, like, oh, this entire 12 issues of X-Men, you know, without having to, like, wait monthly. You know, it was a lot easier for me to connect the dots when I could read background information on the entire complicated narrative, hashtag why the series is being reset, and then look for issues. And frankly, you know what helped more than that is Marvel Wiki and Wikipedia. But again, any strong comic book community, that's not going to be a problem. I feel the need to share that personal experience. Otherwise, you're going to be like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. So, anyway, I associate my comic, my superhero, like, nostalgia very, very heavily with afternoon or Sunday morning cartoons. Saturday morning cartoons, excuse me. Like, Batman the Animated Series, The New Adventures of Superman, Batman vs. Superman. All of those, this is when DC was controlled, and I don't know, was controlled, still is controlled by Time Warner, but this is when the WB arguably was throwing around their brand more because they weren't the CW. You know, I remember turning on Kids WB and watching all of those shows, you know, like Static Shock, where you see crossovers from like Batman Beyond, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. These were all great, great series that ended all around arguably 2003, 2004. Five, mostly because they're like, we don't need to make this anymore because it's, you know, they're for kids. And when things are for kids, unless it's Star Wars, which I might end with later today, it's not going to get as much business play. Like, I was super excited for a series called Beware the Batman that actually was supposed to be so gritty that after the Aurora shooting, they changed the design of guns to make them look less realistic. But that show got bogged down in production. I haven't seen it. Maybe it premiered in Canada. I should probably do more research on that. But, like, something I was expecting on the fall that we didn't get. Young Justice got canceled after two seasons, despite being incredible, being very well-reviewed, and setting up such great storytelling. You know, you can't end a series with Vandal Savage and Darkseid shaking hands on the planet of Apocalypse with the war world in orbit and then them just going business as usual. Ta-da. Yeah, no. Brandon Vietti and Greg Weisman, please bring this show back. There's no way you heard me say that, but please bring this show back. Anyway, what I'm saying is those series are the perfect amount of your cartoon, of your superhero character without, you know, for the average viewer, I believe. If you're not the average viewer, that's what the internet's for. That's what going then to buy comic books for. But this is the strongest medium for you to introduce comic book characters. Sorry, cut out there for a sec. I had a bit of a cough. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me, guys. Yeah, I know I'm bitching a lot about my health, but seasonal changes, not my friend. Turns out growing up in the tropics is it's pretty crippling in terms of giving you abilities to live elsewhere. But anyway, regardless of that, cartoon shows. And going all the way back to Arrow and the Flash, what I would argue is what those shows do better than the movies is they give these superheroes a cartoon-esque feel. Where it falls short is, you know, people can't do what cartoons can do. You can't introduce all these characters. You can't have a 22-episode series and introduce, like, you know, 14 villains. The other thing is they're also 45-minute episodes, so they're filled up with a lot of soapy content. So, you know, again, I like to say, you know, the cartoon aspect, that's the 12-year-old boy side of me. and the soapy romantic, oh, blah, 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 emotional beats that are so obvious. That's the 15-year-old girl side of me. So on that note, since we're going to talk about this a little later, go ahead, check out The Flash, check out Arrow. You don't need to be watching it on TV right now. Both of those series, luckily, because this is the way television works, just got re-uploaded to Netflix. You can watch the entire first season of The Flash, as well as the 3 seasons of Arrow on Netflix. All episodes are available. I don't believe they're all available on Hulu. Other CW shows available on there, Heart of Dixie, I believe the Originals and Vampire Diaries are on there. Yes, if you remember, the Originals is a spinoff of Vampire Diaries, God Bless America, but I can't blame them for that. And then, of course, my final CW favorite, since the 100 does not come back until January, for good reason, because hopefully this season's going to be super good. You should be watching the 100 right now. That's also on Netflix. Rain is back for its 3rd season, of this season finally featuring Mary's great nemesis, Queen Elizabeth of England. Yeah, and that's a crap show, but I'm so addicted to it, and I'm so embarrassed that I watch it, but it's, I don't know, I just sometimes like feel like I'm still in medieval high school or something. I was watching that with my friend, and he's like, this is so upsetting to me. I'm like, I know, the writing, the acting, it's not all great, like, it's a very cheaply made show. He's like, no, screw that, do you see everyone's hair? And I just took a step back, I was like, yes, you know, the girls, I think they're all wearing wigs, but he's like, no, look at all the guys. Their hair is just, this is supposed to be the 1400s. Why do they all look like they should be like on boy band covers in the early 2000s? I'm just like, oh my God, I know. This show has an audience, Nate. I'm not its target audience. But okay, enough of that. So that's the taste of the CW. So let's move on to AMC and HBO, mostly because those are the other two networks I'm watching things on. I didn't finish Halt and Catch Fire. I will do that. I'm sorry, AMC. I need to give you more of a chance, blah, blah, blah. Walking Dead is back. Fear the Walking Dead had a very solid season. I think everyone's very excited for this. I'm curious to see if they're going to do a bunch of references to Fear the Walking Dead. Sorry, not references, maybe like Easter eggs or... Well, I don't know how they do that. Whatever. Don't let me speculate in my head on here. But, okay. You know what? Very, very strong pilot. I mean, not pilot. Strong season premiere. I think this is season 5? No, this is season 6. But yeah, that's kind of it. There's nothing much else to say about it. You know, you can tell there's prestige gone into making the show. There's a lot of detailed time and effort. You can tell the writers are doing their best. Yeah, they're doing their best. What I feel at this point is, when we watch The Walking Dead, you're stuck at such a point where it's like, okay, I watch the show to see people die, see who lives, and see really fucked up shit happen. At a certain point, 5 seasons of that are all, I think, 12 to 15 episode seasons, just, it does get a little old. So what I do, you know, enjoy and I'm coming to appreciate is this non-linear storytelling, which honestly there's been a ton of because I've been watching all of these goddamn shows like The Leftovers this year. But yeah, non-linear storytelling definitely made would have been a pretty like flatline pilot, like, not okay, flatline's the wrong word, literally just like a parallel line, like a just like it would have been just average upon average. And, you know, I probably would have been like, oh, well, I'm curious to see where this goes. But no, luckily we were treated with some, you know, solid storytelling, good action, and of course, definitely like, oh, definitely want to see where this is going. But I don't know. I'm at a point where like, I might not watch this show weekly anymore and then just marathon it when it gets on Netflix, because like, there's starting to be scenes and like episodes where I'm just like, I don't even want to watch 20 minutes of this. Like, I just want to see heads get caved in, etc., etc. I didn't finish this week Sunday's. I'm halfway through it, but judging from what they're doing, I'm pretty excited. This group has needed a more comic book-esque nemesis for a while since the governor died, and I'm really glad. I think we're going to get a lot more of that this season. I was, again, super disappointed by the cannibals not being featured again more last year as enemies, because I was, like, I was getting pretty bored. I think, I want to say at the end of season three. What was that, season four? I'm sorry, guys. I'm being terrible at my job right now. All right, let's go by arcs. By the time the cannibals showed up, I was like, oh my god, bring the governor back. I'm super bored. This is dumb. Blah, 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 etc., etc. But then, of course, we get such a great ending. Like, oh, wait, what's going to happen to them? And, of course, that arguably is probably one of my favorite season premieres, when Carol saves everyone from the cannibals. But, like, to me, that did not lead somewhere interesting or super fun. Like, I don't know. I feel like it could be in the writer's room. They're like, all right, who wants to do the art piece this season? Jenny? All right, Jenny, why don't you write episode 5? We'll do the spot corrections. But literally, you know, we'll make sure you talk to the director that day. Like, we want this to be your story. And you can see that in some of the episodes. Like, they feel too bottlenecked to a point where, like, I almost don't want to watch it. Not because it's, like, poor storytelling within the episode. More that, like, because of everything else going on that I've seen before and that I want to happen, I'm just like, God, I feel like I'm stuck in water. And, you know, at the beginning of this series, because, like, the vastness of the apocalypse and the wasteland of, like, a zombie wasteland, basically, it makes sense why they do things like that. Because that's, like, one of the horrors of, like, losing civilization. You're by yourself with nothing to do for hours. So, again, not bad choices, just I'm getting tired of them. I think America's getting tired of them. I think until the ratings drop, this show will keep getting made. But, like, if anything, it's evolved even more into, like, it's devolved as, like, it's arguably devolved as artistic storytelling and is actually becoming more, like, based on a comic book kind of storytelling. Like, the highest art I think this The Walking Dead has done was definitely season one. So, that being said, not worth checking out if you guys are still fans. Definitely still watch it. The action is still great. We still get to see our characters either dying, living, or living the real hard way. So, again, I haven't stopped yet, but I'm definitely hitting roadblocks with certain characters. That happens with everything. AMC's other series that are that have started this fall, I will have to take a look at later. The main thing about AMC is I tend to like to marathon their series. So perhaps next week we'll be on an update. I'll have a better spectrum of what's been going on AMC. In terms of HBO, The Leftovers is back. And then HBO's sister network Cinemax just brought back The Nick. The Nick is getting its own podcast, likely, which I might post either tomorrow morning or on Thursday. I just want to do it true justice. I'm going to write a little article, too. It's one of my favorite series on television, not because I like Steven Soderbergh, because it literally is one of the most interesting things to watch on television, despite having such graphic and brutal content. But, so there's that. But let's focus more on The Leftovers. Again, probably getting their own podcast, or a segment of this podcast every week. But, Leftovers premiered about 3 weeks ago, but the reason I waited this long to write and talk about it is because we still haven't seen a progression in the story of this series. We're still catching up with the characters on what happened last series. Like, this past week, we finally know what happened to Lori and her son. So here's the question. I don't know if you guys watched all of last season. My partner, Nate, who I live with, hated the first season. But after watching the pilot, the premiere of the second season, we is a little more sold. Okay, this is more if you have the time and more if you actually are interested. This along with Halt and Catch Fire, are two very, very interesting first and second season contrasting. You can tell by, you know, David Lindelof's choice of the intro music for the second season that it is somewhat of a hard reboot. He did a huge time skip. He's taken the criticism very well. Again, I didn't have a ton to complain about season one, but that being said, I didn't have any real arguments against people's complaints against it. I was like, oh yeah, definitely is a hard show to watch. I'm just a weird kind of person who likes that. But this is a much softer series now. And the reason I like that better is I think it makes the heavy-handedness of moments strike out so much more. Like, you know, I like to make this metaphor when I describe the series. Like, the first season is literally like someone taking a board to your head over and over again and smashing you in the face. Like, understand what we've been through. This is emotion. This is raw. This is the leftovers. And, you know, frankly, that didn't get old for me, but America, everyone hated it. Like, I know so many people were just like, this show is depressing. It's pointless. I think the biggest comment is like, it's really graphic, and it's pointless. And again, it depends on the person you are. I didn't think it was pointless, but when people describe their point of view to me and why they felt it was pointless, I could completely see that. And the other thing is there are a lot of Lost fans, I believe, who weren't super excited with this series. Again, hard for me to weigh in on that because I have not seen all of Lost, but judging from the lore and the critique of it, I kind of understand what they mean. That being said, season two, I've been told and can also see in that same vein, is more like Lost. There's what the first season did very well, similarly to Lost, it built mystery very well. But I often felt like it answered the questions either in a very unsatisfying manner, like the whole deer thing, or just kind of ignored it at all to a point where, like, it became uninteresting. It was like, this is stupid because they're never going to explain it. And then I'm just supposed to, and I think a lot of people are like, so I'm just supposed to take that as a matter of fact. And then I'm like, okay, yes, on the surface, it looks like that. But if you go deeper, I mean, the whole point is like, everyone in the series is confused, is indecisive, is uncertain would be the biggest word. And that thematically has carried over very well with less of the heavy-handed anguish. But also, just in defense of the first season, like, I thought that was brilliant because it's what the characters are feeling. They're just, like, they're seeing things and these things are happening that they don't understand. And frankly, the scary part is for them and us will or might never understand. Like, the world may have ended. The world may have not ended. Was this an act of God, an act of nature? What universe are we living in? Like, these are the anguishing theoretical questions that the first season of the show aggressively asked you. And the second season is softly reminding us of them, which is brilliant. It's nice. It's refreshing. If we got a lot more of the first season, I don't know how much more of this series I could take. But go check out The Leftovers. Recaps will start next week, Monday. Post on Tuesday. We need to wrap up here. Don't want to talk too long. Last thing I'm going to go in detail on, Fargo on FX. Just saw episode 2 last night of season 2. Oh my God, this is the best thing on television right now. I haven't seen The Nick yet, but regardless, because this is easier to watch than The Nick, this is the best show on television. I said it even right as I was watching True Detective Season 1. This is a better series in terms of storytelling, in terms of creating atmosphere, in terms of creating interesting characters, and in terms of literally taking us on a tractor or like a pickup truck ride on a bumpy dirt road of storytelling that's like off the beaten path, the strips of Hollywood. Like, okay, you see glimmers of it. It looks like a high production. It doesn't feel like an indie film, but it feels like artistry. It feels like people are trying to tell me things and not necessarily, and do it very subtly at times, but also be like, we're trying to give you something else here. I know that's all very vague description, but this show deals with incredibly graphic content at times. It deals with gruesome murders, yet there's such a lightness to it, an almost sarcastic lightness to it. And it definitely, the Minnesota, you know, the Midwest accent helps with that. That like, oh, you know, it's just real terrible, yeah. But it's taking very pedestrian characters who are incredibly relatable, not making them caricatures of themselves, yet making them, they're so fascinating without a ton of pieces to play with. You know, like, it's easy to say, oh, the housewife is now on this crazy adventure because she joined the military and now got captured. It's like, no, like, this family's just trying to live their life and now they're caught up in this crazy story. Me and Nate are going to talk about this on our podcast, and I will definitely go into more depth in this on my Monday night, so Tuesday morning recaps of the weekend. But Fargo is the show to be watching right now. I'm not sure if season one is available on Netflix if you have not seen it yet, but it is available on Amazon Instant Watch. If you also have a cable provider that has a lot of on-demand services, you likely will also be able to find it there. But, ladies and gentlemen, not only is this cast awesome, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful series. It enthralls you in the same way, a movie does. It throws you into such a deep world, and you're only there for 50 minutes, but you feel stuck there for a very, very long, fascinating ride. All right, Fargo on FX, episode 3 premieres next week, Monday at 9 or 8. Definitely 9 Eastern time. I think it's available at 8 on the West Coast, but it also will premiere every hour after American Horror Story, which I don't want to talk about because fuck that show. Honorable mention goes to The Last Kingdom on BBC. It's the BBC's answer to Vikings. Really cute. I like to think it's more of an adventure story, if anything, than Vikings, and it's just a lot brighter than Game of Thrones, but the same, like, are we in love? Let's take sex very casually, despite it's like 800 AD. Handsome dudes with swords and man buns. Check it out if you like a nice shield and sword medieval adventure with Vikings. Danes versus Saxons, but we're all trying to rule the last kingdom of Britain. Did you see what I did there? Yeah, you can tell I'm running the end of my rope on this podcast. Okay, keep watching One Piece, ladies and gentlemen. Keep watching Fairy Tail. Naruto, hopefully we'll be done with this infinite Tsukuyomi bullshit, but thank you for listening. So again, just to go over, probably Mondays are going to be recaps of Sunday television. Tuesdays will be a recap purely of just Fargo, so it won't be too long. Wednesdays will be a recap of Arrow, Flash, so CW Wednesdays. And Fridays will likely be a recap of Shonda Thursdays. So, happy TV watching. Don't get bogged down in dramas. There are a lot of fun comedies still back on the air. I'm really looking forward to checking out Casual on Hulu. I think there's a lot of good content to come there, but it's been great letting you guys, it's been great having you guys let me talk for so long. So everyone, enjoy the rest of their day and keep listening to Storytime with Tofu. I'm your host, Stephen Toyofuku. Have a great night. Bye-bye.